We're going to take a look at some of NLP training elements for effective presentations. So in NLP, we've had students analyze, like students that came through trainers trainings, analyze everything that's going on simultaneously when we're teaching NLP. And what we found is that we're doing approximately 36 things simultaneously when we're teaching NLP. There's 36 behaviors going on. The first one is nested loops or open loops. We'll get into that tomorrow. We're going to teach you how to do multiply embedded metaphors, how to tell a series of stories and cut each one off and then tell the stories or end the stories in a reverse order. What that does is it causes more retention. So we're constantly using nested loops. And I don't know if you could count how many loops I've opened since the beginning of the training, but I've opened quite a few. Yeah, probably at least 12. Moment-to-moment structure of state using hypnotic language patterns and anchoring these states. So we're controlling the states of the people that are that we're communicating with. Content sequencing. Content chunking. So we're making sure that we're chunking at the appropriate level. Anchors. We're using spatial, visual, physical, and tonal anchors to create the most impact from the students that are learning. Nonverbal demonstration of patterns. So I will typically in a training do a nonverbal demonstration of a pattern 3 to 48 hours prior to actually teaching that pattern. What that's called is pre-teaching. So I'll teach it before I've actually taught it. So at some level, in the student's unconscious mind, they've already there's a sense of familiarity with some of the patterns. Right? So it's like, this is kind of familiar. All right, so I'll pre-teach it nonverbally. Chaining states, certain order generalizations, so we'll actually chain emotional states. Content, what we're doing with the content is we're teaching both what and why simultaneously. I think a lot of teachers are ineffective in teaching the why of content, in the school systems especially. Like in terms of some of the subjects where students get lost, like you look at mathematics, for example, that's an ineffective teaching of why. Like why are we learning what we're learning? Right, so we're teaching both of those simultaneously. We're actually using number 9, the format system. And I'm going to teach you the format system tonight. The format system is an easy way to teach information to make sure that you cover most students' preferred style of learning. And we're going to learn how to do that tonight. 10, applications of material covered. How, what if? So we get people to actually apply the material. We do that through our exercises that we do. So you don't just learn the material, you're actually rotating through exercises where you get it and you integrate it into your neurology. Restructuring of students' model of the world during question and answer session. So what we're doing is oftentimes, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, sometimes you may ask me a question and I don't answer the question directly. That's called questions of the answers. What I'm actually doing is I'm going inside the student's head and asking what is presupposed by this question. So what's missing from the student's model of the world that would cause them to answer this question? And how can I help them to expand their model of the world? And so I may be answering something that's behind a question that's missing without answering the question itself. So I hear the question and I go, huh, what's presupposed by that that's actually missing from the client, from the student's model of the world? And I'll answer that. Because that's going to make a much more profound difference in terms of their thinking than answering their question directly. Linking to each student's internal representation and model of the world. Use of temporal language. So the use of temporal language at all times. A feeling of familiarity. We can create that. Backtracking. So we'll use backtracking. Backtracking is simply closing the communication loop to find out somebody's understanding of something. KAV sequencing and pacing. This is what we call a charisma pattern in NLP. That means I'm alternating from kinesthetic to auditory to visual, and I'll go in waves, and that's called a charisma pattern. Bonding. Bonding is a step beyond rapport, so how do you actually create bonding with people? Express emotions and heart. So that's another thing that we do inside of the training. Fractionation. Fractionation is the process of taking somebody and putting them in trance several times. And the more times somebody's in trance now, the deeper they can go. That was actually, Milton Erickson said his best subject became his best subject after 300 repeated inductions. So the more times somebody went into a trance, the better a trance subject they became. So it's cumulative. Exactly. That's called fractionation. The process is called fractionation. Reframing. So we're constantly reframing the various issues that come up. Parts. We may be integrating parts linguistically or otherwise for the students as we're teaching. I'm teaching constantly through metaphor as well. So I'll be teaching through stories. Angular postures. If you notice how we've got the chairs up here, even down to the postures, all of those things come into play in terms of angular postures being more interesting, because those are more interesting to look at. So we'll set the chairs at angular postures. Overt pattern demos. So I'll demonstrate the techniques prior to sending you off for the exercises. Use of expanded awareness. When I'm teaching, I'm always in expanded awareness when I'm teaching. First, for emotional state control. Secondly, for taking in the entire audience. So I always teach in expanded awareness. Familiarity. We talked about that. Humor. So we'll be using humor throughout the training. Some of you find my humor funny, others not. Presuppositions. I make use of, in NLP, we make use of presuppositions. So we're stacking presuppositions throughout the entire training to cause change in the students at the unconscious level through the acceptance of the presuppositions inherent in the training material. Stacked internal representations. So I'm constantly thinking of the internal representations that we're creating inside the class's mind or the student's mind. And we're stacking those. And having the amount of time that we have inside a training, whether it be 1 week or 2 weeks, gives us the opportunity to really stack internal representations nicely. And remember, change is the order and the sequence of the internal representations inside someone's head. And transformation, of course, is a major part of our presentations in NLP. It's all about transformation. So what I'd like to start with here is one of the techniques. I want to give you the opportunity to begin feeling what it's like to be on stage, but not just be on stage, but have a congruence with being on stage and feel good about being on stage. Most of the people that come through our trainings, and most of the people that go to trainers training, come in with some sort of a fear and they leave with no fear. And you may even get that here. So what I'd like to do is we're going to take one person at a time, and we're going to bring them up, and we're going to actually install the trainer state in them, which is the state of expanded awareness from a stage. Now, when we do this, the best thing that you could do, because we're just going to bring everybody up one at a time, and what I want you to do is go into expanded awareness. As I mentioned, this is the state that I train from all the time, so I can be constantly aware of everything that happens inside. So I can notice the smallest, most minute movement that happens, like John's blinking, or Greg's moving his hand. I can notice all those things simultaneously, even if I'm looking over here, or Connie moving there, or Ananda. So I can notice all those, right? And I can be aware of everything that's happening around me, like Connie kicking the bottom of the sheet. Right? May I interject? Now, by the way, this is the beginning of how you work with audiences of all size, whether it be from audiences of 5 people to audience of 5,000 people. Now, there's ways that we can actually, well, this is the first step. The first step is emotional state control. How many of you have ever been in front of people and noticed that you went into a negative state or like a nervous state or anything like that before? Okay. So part of that is because we're inside ourselves. That's what we call downtime. Yeah. Uptime is being outside yourself. This is what we call uptime expanded awareness. So one of the first things that you want to do is put your attention outside yourself so that you can be totally present with the audience. Now, there's other techniques that we use in order to create group rapport, which includes picking up what we call rapport leaders inside the group, and I'll talk to you about that next. But right now, what I want everybody to practice is getting that uptime expanded awareness and going into that training state. So, all we need is some music, and we need somebody who's going to be first, so you can be deciding amongst yourself who's going to go first. You're going to go first? Hold on 1 second. So, you're going to go first? All right. Expanded awareness. So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you stand up in the center, and, yeah, big picture. Think big picture. So, Ananda, no, that's okay. What I want you to do Ananda, what I want you to do is I want you to pick a spot on the wall somewhere behind you, something above eye level, and just watch that spot. Pour all your attention, all your focus, all your awareness on that spot. Every ounce, every scrap of your attention and your awareness. And I want you to notice that in a matter of moments, your attention can begin to expand outward into the peripheral. I want you to notice that within a matter of moments, your attention can begin to expand outward into the peripheral. And you can begin to take in the side walls on the sides. And that attention can continue all the way to the side of you and almost all the way around you, almost to where you could see behind you, if you could imagine that. And as you're staying there in expanded awareness, I want you to notice that you can begin to take in movement in the room. Just go ahead and bring your eyes down to your audience, but remain in expanded awareness. So with your eyes down on your audience, you're remaining in expanded awareness. And notice that you can notice every little movement in the room. And notice that you can feel connected with each and every person. Notice that you can feel connected with each and every person in the room. Yeah. I just want you to bring your eyes down to the audience, yet remain in expanded awareness. So notice everybody here. Now, those of us in the audience, what I'd like to do is, if you feel the connection, or if you feel at any point that you lose Ananda's connection with you, just give a little wave. That's right, and she'll bring her attention over toward you as well, yet remain in expanded awareness. So anytime you feel that you lose the connection a little bit, just go ahead and give a little wave from wherever you are. And Ananda can refocus her attention and her awareness. And notice that you can feel connected with each and every person in the room, almost as if you were one with each and every person in the room. Yes, it is. Notice that you can notice every little movement that happens. That's right. And you can feel that level of connection. Same thing. Yeah. Now what I want you to do is I'm going to have people in the room begin to move just a little bit. And every time you notice a movement, I want you to remain in expanded awareness, and I want you just to point to where you notice that movement now. Good. They may move ever so slightly. That's right. Very good. Excellent. Just notice each movement whenever it happens. Very good. And notice that you can notice everything that happens in the room. Everything. Very good. You notice each, that's right. Excellent. Noticing each and every movement in the room. You command the room. You know everything that happens around you. Yeah, whenever you notice a movement, that's right. Very good. And notice that you can feel connected with each and every person here. Yes. Good. And give her a round of applause. Give your trainer a thunderous round of applause. Yes. Good job. Well done. Is that interesting? Here's what you do. You want to avoid, because what you'll do is sometimes you can make eye contact. So I'll make eye contact with people when I'm teaching, but the whole time I'm in expanded awareness. So even though I'm making eye contact with Greg, and I'm looking at Greg, and I may even be answering his question, I'm still aware of that movement that's happening. I'm aware, she's not, there you go, there's that movement over there. So I'm aware of everything that's happening in the room, and I'm connected with everybody here, even though I may be looking over here and I see that movement over there. So I'm in expanded awareness the whole time. Have you ever saw somebody like, I see this oftentimes in like Toastmasters groups or something, where people will get locked on one person. And do their whole speech to that one person. Or they'll do the back of the room and they'll look in the back of the room, right? What this does is it allows us to be connected. So what we want to do is we start in expanded awareness and then bring our gaze down to our class, to our students, and we're going to wrap our gaze around and remain in expanded awareness, yet have the ability to connect with an individual while simultaneously noticing the movement, right? This is the first step. Rapport would be the second step. So you can do group rapport rather easily once you've got the first step down. So what I want to do now is the audience, when we're in the audience, At first, what we're going to do, the first part of this exercise when we bring the next person up, is if you feel that you lose that connection with the presenter that's standing in the front of the room, just wave to them a little bit and let them know that you felt the feeling that you're losing that connectedness. And then they can just come down and connect with you a little bit more while still being aware of everything that's happening. Then, the second part, at some point I'll say, okay, now I want the presenter to begin to point to the movement that occurs. And that'll be the second part. And they'll begin to point to wherever they see movement while they're continually remaining in expanded awareness. Okay? Who's next? Go for it. Here we go. Give them a hand. Hey! You feel good. Good. That's right, you can. So what I want you to do, John, is I want you to find a spot somewhere on the wall, somewhere above eye level. And as you find that spot on the wall above eye level, I want you to pour every ounce of your focus, your attention, and your awareness on that spot. Every ounce of your focus, your awareness, and your attention on that spot on the wall. And then notice that you can, within a matter of moments, your vision can begin to expand outward into the peripheral. You can begin to take in the side walls, and your peripheral vision can begin to expand all the way around, almost so much so that you can see all the way behind you in 360 degrees. And now what I want you to do is I want you to shift every ounce of your focus, your attention, your awareness to the peripheral part of your vision. And keeping it out there, just bring your eyes down to your audience, yet remain in peripheral vision. So go ahead and bring your eyes down to the audience, yet remain in peripheral vision. And with your eyes down on the audience now, remaining in peripheral vision, notice the feeling of connectedness that you get inside with your audience. Almost as if you were one with the audience. And as you're one with the audience, what I'd like to ask the audience to do now is if we notice that we lose that feeling of connectedness, if you feel that you don't have it, just give him a wave. And he'll... We're not pointing right now. Just remain connected. So if they wave to you, you just bring them into your... Yeah, sure. Just remain in expanded awareness, though. Remain in expanded awareness. That's right. Remaining in expanded awareness. And if you feel that you lose his connection, just give him a little wave so that he brings you into... Remaining in expanded awareness. That's right. You can look at them, but remain in expanded awareness. Be aware of everything that's happening around you. So if you feel that you lose the connection with John, just give him a little wave. Good. And now, you may begin to notice the minute movements within the room. Remaining in expanded awareness, I'd like you just to begin to point if you notice movement in the room, wherever you notice that movement, yet remain in expanded awareness. That's right. And remain connected with your audience. Yes. Very good. Yeah. Notice that you can feel that feeling of connectedness with each and every person in the audience, with your entire audience. You can feel connected. And notice how good it feels to be connected with everybody there. To notice every movement that occurs in the training state. Very good. Very good. And give your trainer a hand. Hey! A thunderous round of applause. Good job. So the idea is with expanded awareness to capture the entire audience at once so that you know everything that's happening and you can be at one with the audience. Because the thing is if you lose, and by the way, when I first started presenting, I did one of the earlier presentations I did was here. This is interesting. It was in a different room here. This was about probably 5 years ago, but it was before I did my trainer's training. And you were there. Remember that? Now, there were two. Yeah, he was there. That's funny. Do you remember the guys that came from the stockbroker? Yeah. There was a pocket of people that came from a stock brokerage that were over here. Now, what happened was is that because I wasn't in expanded awareness and I wasn't connected with the entire audience, I lost rapport with this pocket over here. And what I did was I started to ignore that pocket. And what happened was, as a result of that, I just lost that pocket and they ended up falling away. So what you want to do is you want to remain connected with the entire audience. And rather, see, what the tendency is to do for people is if they notice that somebody's not reacting as much, the tendency is to go into a scotoma and avoid that spot. But that's not what you need to do. What you need to do is bring that spot in even more. Because what you'll find is that there's rapport leaders within any individual group.